Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. We are here with Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. Thanks for joining us. Today we have a multitude of athletic trainers discussing, well, questions students want to know. With us right now is Jonathan Gadalia, athletic trainer of Valencia High School in Santa Clarita, educator in the medical science program, and nationally registered EMT. How you doing today, John?
I'm good. How are you doing, Eli?
I'm good, buddy. That beard's looking pretty good on you right now. Yeah, that's
working on it.
Filled in great over the last year, man. Dr. Angela Bushmaker of Kentwood High School in Kent, Washington. How you doing today, Angela?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am great. Ashley Sink, athletic trainer, head athletic trainer, and health and safety coordinator at Fairmont Preparatory Academy in Anaheim, California. How you doing, Ashley?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Eli?
I'm doing great. Cindy Kramer, the head athletic trainer of Notre Dame High School in Sherman Oaks, California. How you doing, Cindy?
Doing just fine, Eli. Thanks for asking.
Kristen Dizon of Agora High School. She's the head athletic trainer in Agora, California. How you doing, Kristen?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks for being part of this. And Tim Masicki, head athletic trainer of Loyola High School and director of health services. I appreciate you doing this. We reached out to several listeners and their students actually had questions for athletic trainers. And we thought, what a great concept. Let's get some student questions and answer them and get different aspects and different ideas and different comments from colleagues all over. So thank you for doing this. We appreciate it. And we're going to get started. First question we're going to start out with is, what inspired you to be an athletic trainer? Tim.
It's kind of, I actually stumbled across it by accident. I just transferred to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. I was going to go be a PE major. At that time is what's now kinesiology, they call it. And one of the course requirements was to take a beginning athletic training course. I started in the class and started taping, and it was pretty easy for me to do. And all of a sudden, one thing led to another, and I go, wow, you know what? I kind of dig this stuff. I kind of get it really easy. It really came easy to me, and I really liked it. So I then kind of changed the concentration a little bit into more of a sports medicine option. That at that time there was no real option for that, so I had to do independent course of study kind of thing at San Luis Obispo, and then from there it all just went from there. So it was literally just taking the class in college and going, yeah, this stuff's kind of cool, I can do this.
And that's led you to what, a 30 year
this is my 36th year at Loyola. I became certified in 88. But I actually started in the NATA in 86.
So one class really led you to it.
One class, beginning athletic training.
Beginning
PE 252 is what it used to be called.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's a cool little story. What's yours, Kristen?
All right. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do in life. And so when I was in high school, I kind of bounced around with some different groups. And I remember my friend was in our science class and she was studying for her athletic training class. And I wasn't able to take it because I had a sixth period that was different. So the next year my schedule had changed. And so I took the class. I was just really interested in the anatomy and what she was doing. And I just really fell in love. I had a really great athletic trainer in high school that came on when I was a junior named Juliana Lorenzen. And I just thought it was so cool that she could take an injured athlete and diagnose them and help them and get them back on the field. And I was just so interested in it. So that was where it started. And then after that, I went to Moorport College and worked with Vance Manicus. I don't know if I said that right. So sorry, Vance. But he's like Hall of Fame athletic trainer. Everyone knows him. And just seeing him and like how he worked with people, how calm he was, taking that crazy stressful situation of an athlete being injured and getting them back. And he just looked like he had such a fun job and had a great
Vance
time
made everything look fun. Yes.
Yes, exactly. And that set it in stone. I was ready. I was not going anywhere else.
Now you said you started in high school. What school did you go to?
I went to Royal High School. Royal High School in Simi Valley. We had a very small sports med program, but I loved it. I started my second semester of my sophomore year. So starting really early, I definitely didn't know what an athletic trainer was. We didn't have an athletic trainer till my junior year. So we were kind of just kids taping and assuming what we should do, which does not happen anymore.
Not always a good thing, right?
Yes, exactly. But then we got our athletic trainer my junior year and it really kind of changed the whole program. And we learned what an athletic trainer does. And it's more than just in that moment, first aid and working through it all.
Very cool. Shout out
to Royal Sports Medicine. They're crushing it.
Definitely. Shout out to Royal. Shout out to Moorpark. nod to those mentors that help you become what you are today. John.
Yeah, for me, going into athletic training, I took some sports medicine classes in high school. I always knew I wanted to go into medicine. And when I was taking those sports medicine classes, I really enjoyed working with the athletic patient population. Highly motivated patients, which are great to work with. And then the other thing that I really liked about athletic training is you kind of do a little bit of everything. There's no really one thing specifically that we, I guess, specialize in, so to speak. You know, we have to do a little bit of emergency care. We have to be able to do evaluations and then ultimately treatments and rehab, things like that. And so we really get a wide variety of things that we get to focus on and do on a daily basis as an athletic trainer.
That's so true. It's a potpourri of things every day. Yes. You never know what's coming your way, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Keeps you on your toes. Cindy, what about you?
Well, I started out going to college to be a teacher and a coach, and I taught elementary school for 5 years. I figured out that was not my age group. Love little kids to death, but I couldn't be a teacher with them for very long. So I decided to go back to school. And in the phys ed department at Cal State Northridge, because it was still physical education, not kinesiology yet, there was the athletic training program. And I grew up with a mom who was a nurse, so she was healthcare, and a dad who was a baseball coach all his life. So the interests of both medicine and sports was very much part of my upbringing. So athletic training intrigued me because it allowed me to pursue healthcare within the athletic population. And I was very fortunate that when I finished the program, there was a job opening at Notre Dame, and I've been there ever since. So the inspiration was really my love of athletics and medicine. And it was a nice way to combine the two.
So truly the inspiration were your parents.
They were my parents. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And meshing their loves together.
Yep. They were my inspiration. Absolutely.
That is a first. We haven't heard that answer before. Mom and dad inspiring you to become an athletic trainer. Now, You mentioned you've been at Notre Dame ever since. How long have you been at Notre Dame High School?
This is the start of my 38th year. It has been my one and only setting as far as a full-time job. I have been fortunate to travel with other groups out of country, out of state, being an athletic trainer. So there's a little bit of variation, various settings as far as that goes. But most of my work has all been with high school age kids.
I know you've done some rugby and some other things. Would you like to mention it?
Well, the rugby is the big one. I've been fortunate to work with kids from all over the world that come together and play and tour in different countries. And so that's been great. I've gone to Spain. I've gone to Ireland, been up in Canada a couple of times. So we'll see where this summer goes. Looking forward to it. And I've worked with, I actually did a little bit of judo in a couple of things. I've done some swimming meets. So those are just kind of little as things pop up and I can fit them into my schedule.
Because you have such an open and mellow schedule, right?
Very mellow.
Very mellow, very wide
very
open.
Mellow.
Yep. Yep.
As I get ready to go to New Zealand.
Ashley.
I have an aha moment. I was a student athletic trainer at Claremont High School under formerly known Heather Petavolano. And she's now Sergeant Cooper. She was our lovely athletic trainer. We had about 8 of us on staff, and we were working a semifinal boys soccer game. And one of my friends had gone up for a header and collided with the opponent's forehead and thus lacerated his forehead. Everyone's hands were busy due to it being a very physical game. And all I hear is the trainer whistle. And if you're from Claremont, you know the trainer whistle very well. And she's like, "Ashley, you're on it." And I was assigned to the duty of controlling the bleeding and then super gluing his head shut. And that was the instantaneous moment where I was like, "Oh, I want to do this for the rest of my life."
I love that. I love that. I want to do this the rest of my life. Yep.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. And how many years ago was that?
Junior or senior year. So it was either 2008 or 2009.
And that bounced you into a career that you've been doing successfully for a while now. That's awesome. What's yours, Angela?
I was a athletic training student at Auburn High School, which is a local high school in the area. I went to the high school I did because of their program that they had. So it was one of those things that I kind of knew what I wanted to do. Early on, I was an athlete. I played volleyball and I was a cheerleader and I was always hurt. And so I wanted something to do with sports where I could help people. And I learned a lot just from being injured myself. So it just seemed like a great fit. Wanted to help people in the athletic world. So
kind of fell right in place with everything you did, everything you liked, and kind of meshed together. So you had a choice of going to one of two schools then if you were in the Auburn area, right?
I did at the time. Yeah, we had two schools.
And what was the other school?
Auburn Riverside was one of them.
Okay.
And then Auburn Mountain View opened up later after us, but Auburn High School is the original Auburn Senior High School. Go Trojans.
There you go.
That's the one that I went to.
And it's neat to hear, and we hear it more and more often now, how many athletic trainers professionally got exposed to the profession at the high school level and really utilized it to grow into the profession. Kind of gratifying. Now, would you like to give a little nod to the athletic trainer of the time that kind of mentored you as a high school student and brought you into the profession?
Steve Calhoun was my teacher. He has now moved from Auburn High School. He moved over to Auburn Mountain View when they opened that school. And he just was a phenomenal teacher and kind of a person who mentored me and guided me in this direction. I mean, obviously, we kind of had our run-in sometimes. I'm a strong-willed person, as is he.
But no, no.
Yeah.
Couldn't see that happening ever.
But we had great conversations after I graduated and returned and started teaching again. or teaching at the high school level. So we had a great time sitting down and just kind of reminiscing about things. And I, you know, asked him some great questions on like how to start a program, because he had one that was extremely successful at multiple schools. And so it was well known all around us that that was the school to go to for sports medicine. Yeah, Steve Calhoun, my hero.
Shout out, Steve. Great guy. We deal with him a few times every year. Still doing it.
Yeah.
And has quite a few people, I'm sure, on his coattails that have come up into the profession and made a difference like yourself. What is the most stressful situation you've been in as an athletic trainer, and how did you handle it? Kristen.
All right. I've had a few stressful situations, you know, the normal parent coaches working in that. I think the one that stands out to me the most is during a JV football game one day, I had an athlete go on kickoff, play was over, they're all running back to the sidelines, and it was almost like a movie. I watched him kind of stand, he got to the numbers, and then fell to the ground. It was like that picture in my mind. I was like, did this kid just go into cardiac arrest? What's happening? Ran out to him. When I got to him, he was fully unconscious. His lips were blue. So I went through, started assuming, okay, he may have a spinal injury, he may have cardiac arrest. I went and started taking his pulse. Luckily, he had a pulse. By the time that happened, another athletic trainer had come and taken over the head. And he was out for a good 15, 20 seconds. And then he came to. So definitely this 30 second me seeing him to me getting out there was, felt like 5 minutes, but ends up being about 30 seconds. And he ends up being totally fine. We evaluated him and he actually had nothing. Like we are assuming he just lost his breath and went unconscious for a little bit, had to end up sending him to the hospital just out of precaution. He actually came back for the varsity game and wanted to hang out on the sidelines. And
oh my God.
Never had any problems in the future, but
definitely cyanotic lips and all, huh?
Yes, exactly. I was definitely, we're going to be doing CPR, going all in on this, and luckily didn't have to, and he ended up being good, but those few minutes were
just crazy. A tad bit stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my, I'd be a little nervous too, because this is a teenager. They've got lots of life ahead of them and they're not supposed to be going blue. Oh my God.
Yes, that definitely. Is
scary.
It's what we train for, but it's always a little bit in the moment like, oh, this is happening. This is real.
And the funny thing is, that's what's going through our mind, but we can't show it.
Yes.
We have to be completely professional, straight faced, get the job done. But in our heads, we're thinking, oh my God, what are we about to do?
Exactly. And working, we have a pretty good sized sports medicine program. So having students run up and seeing if we needed anything and trying to keep that together with, okay, this may be going and maybe activating EMS and going through it. So trying to keep that face definitely after you're like, oh, it happened. But everything was all good.
Well, thank God. Yeah. Wow. All right, then. That's a stressful moment, no doubt about it. What's yours, John?
I think the most stressful situation I've been in recently as an athletic trainer was probably last football season. We had one of our football players take a hit and actually was showing neurologic symptoms of a spinal cord injury. As an athletic trainer, I've seen what we've suspected to be, potential spinal cord injuries and such through the years. But this one was a little bit more real because this particular player was having some pretty severe symptoms in terms of being unable to move extremities, not having sensation in extremities. So probably one of the more stressful times I've had as an athletic trainer. But in terms of working through it, I think we have a team of sports medicine individuals amongst athletic trainers, our team physician as well. And, just kind of our training kind of took over. And we just did everything that we have always trained to do. And afterwards, when we debriefed with our other athletic trainers and our team physician, and, everything kind of went really smooth. And even though it was extremely stressful, we were able to take our training that we've done, every every year and throughout our careers, and turn it into even though it was a stressful situation, into a good outcome for this patient.
Now, question for you. You said that you have a team.
Yes.
Would you like to shout out at the team and tell us what kind of team it is?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm more on the education side here at Valencia High School, but we do have a full-time athletic trainer through our local hospital system who works for us full-time. And then we, of course, have our director of sports medicine and the Medical Science Academy, Joe Monteleone. And him and I, work with a lot of students. So we have students that are involved as well. And then we have our team physician through SCOE. And then actually with that situation too, the other team's athletic trainer got involved as well. So we had three athletic trainers, a team physician, and a group of sports medicine students that were all able to care for this football player.
Now you say students, are these athletic training students from a collegiate program, from a high school program, a junior college program?
Yeah, actually, we did have a student from a local master's athletic training program with us at the time. And then we also have our high school students who were able to assist with basic things like activating our EAP, guiding in the ambulance and paramedics. And then they're also able, they brought us equipment onto the field, and they were able to do some very basic things like get a blood pressure for us, put a pulse oximeter on the patient, get some of the other equipment ready. So having a big group, a big team like that was very helpful with that situation.
Very nice. And not everybody's as fortunate as we are in having a nice, robust staff to help you in those kind of situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very fortunate to work with everyone that I do. And it's really us ultimately for the better interest of our athletes and patients.
Amen to that. Cindy.
It depends on whether we're talking about an injury or we're talking about a workplace situation.
So, it can be both or either, your choice.
Okay, let me take the workplace situation. So when I started as an athletic trainer at Notre Dame, they had just had girls at the school for 3 years. So it was very much an all boys kind of attitude still. And they're learning to accept the girls. So being a female athletic trainer with football coaches, that was probably really stressful at the beginning for me because the coaches would tell the guys not to come and see me. They thought I would be too soft and not prepare them to go back out and play and deal with the injuries and things that they could. But they thought I would say, oh, you poor baby, you've got a little muscle strain, you need to sit out.
I know you too well. Don't mind me laughing. Sorry
about
that.
It's okay. It's okay. But they didn't know me. And being 4'10" and 105 pounds, they kind of looked at me a little bit differently. So it took a lot of time. It took a lot of just them seeing how I handled, and going. As far as an injury goes, it's the same group many years later. And that was when I had a young man who had a concussion. He was a football player, wasn't a starter, didn't really matter then. He sustained a concussion in August, so preseason, and went through all the steps at that time. Doctor cleared him. We had a scrimmage the Friday after he was cleared. And what I didn't know is that his symptoms had come back on the Wednesday. He had got cleared on Monday. Symptoms came back on Wednesday. So whether it was another blow or he really hadn't fully healed, I don't know. But the last 5 minutes of the scrimmage, he got in and he got ear holed. So he got hit on the side of the head.
Oh, no.
Helmet.
Oh, no.
Into seizures.
Oh my God.
Yeah, when I saw who it was, absolutely, my heart just dropped because I'm going, crap. And as he's being wheeled to the ambulance to drive him over to the next field to be airlifted, his teammates go, does it matter that his symptoms came back on Wednesday?
Oh my God.
And I looked at him and I just went, oh. And so the background behind that was the reason that I wasn't told, or the coaches weren't told, any of the adults, that he had symptoms is because of the way he felt the coaches were treating him while he was sitting out with the concussion. And so whatever words were said or whatever actions, whether it was joking or not, this kid took it to heart and really was made to feel like he was soft and he shouldn't have been sitting out.
We hear that all too often, where the students just want to please their coach.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't want to. And I have to say that even right now, I'm dealing with a little bit of it, and it's not coming from the coaches. It's coming from the kids. It's this mentality of, you have to fight through it. But fortunately, the young man was okay. And it turned into a great learning situation because I addressed it with the coaches. And I said, I need to let you know that whether you meant it or not, your actions and words are responsible for this situation, as well as educating his teammates to say, look, it, you are teammates. You need to look out for each other. And you have to be the ones to report. If you see one of your teammates and they're exhibiting signs of concussion, you need to tell them, because how would you feel if your teammate had died and you knew that he had concussion symptoms? I said, you don't want to do that. That's not looking out for each other.
Yeah, totally.
So it did become a great educational piece because the young man was okay. It would have been a really, really hard lesson for the guys on that team had it not, the outcome not been positive.
And that's what I was just about to ask. At this point in life, outcome for that young man was okay. He's doing fine, or?
As far as I know, yes, it's been quite a few years, but I'm going to say honestly that the doctor at that time and myself, we managed to not allow him to play anymore that season. He had parents that wanted him to play, and it was just, it wasn't in the young man's best interest to go back and play.
It's amazing. Sometimes people forget this is only a game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that they have adult lives to be, they need to be productive, yep. So yep. I will definitely send out bumps and bruises and club casts and do whatever, but the head is one area you're not going to find me budging too much.
Nope, not at all. I'd have to agree with you on that.
Yeah.
What's the number one most useful skill you've learned? Kristen, what about you?
All right. I think it sounds a little bit cheesy, but just communication. I think networking is such an important thing. And I think from our athletic training background and having to work at different clinical sites and with patients and with coaches and with parents, you get to really learn how to network and talk, and those networking come back to help you.
There's no doubt about that. We've had some really good discussions over the years about how important it is to communicate, and it pays off, whether it's networking, interactions with parents, injured athletes, injured patients, administration. Communication is key. Totally. Yes,
definitely. That's how I got my current job, was just networking with a fellow athletic trainer at a game one day. That's why I'm here right now, because networking with you. So it definitely comes around.
It can turn around and bite you in the butt. That's true. Good point.
Now I'm stuck here.
Amen. Ashley.
This one was actually a toughie, because There's plenty of useful skills that we have obtained to supply our tool belt. I'm sure we all have our go-tos. I was a personal trainer before I became a certified athletic trainer, and I obtained the skill of being able to do gait and movement assessments with the naked eye to be able to uncover muscle imbalances, any gait abnormalities, whether it be structural or functional. And I'm sure many of us out there, certified people, watch for fun, just be like, oh wow, they got a toe flick, or oh wow, they lack hip extension, or oh wow, they have pes planus. So it's definitely been one of my stronger skills that aid in my rehabilitation protocol.
I got to be honest, and I'm going to shout this out because you are in Anaheim. When my wife and family and I go to the Mouse House, Disneyland, my wife is a PT by background. One of our favorite things to do is watching gait and analyzing and figuring out what their inequities are for whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time for all.
Yeah. Sad, but it's what we do. It really is. We break it down and figure it out while we're sitting there.
We bond over it, especially if I'm with my AT friends.
Love it. Love it. That's a great answer. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Angela, what about you?
Oh, there's so many.
That's always the answer. That's the funny thing.
Where do I even start? I think the biggest thing that I've learned, and it's not, I wouldn't say that it's isolated to athletic training or sports medicine. The biggest thing that I have learned that has helped me kind of throughout my career is the ability to adapt. And I think with skills specifically, the hands-on skills are extremely important, but no two situations are alike. So it's really important that as a professional and somebody going into that field, that you have that creativity to kind of make things happen the way that you need them to happen or want them to happen, and that you're able to kind of adjust on that fly and that flexibility. But, you know, there's times where you don't have certain supplies that you need and you just have to make it work. And I think that that's one of the biggest things that I've learned and one of the skills that I think has kind of brought me this far in my career and in teaching.
And I think it also goes back to, it's an expectation. We have to be able to adapt. Think of the original, go back 20, 30 years to when we had the practical for certification.
It.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I took it. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. The written sim and practical.
And
yep.
How they would call you out of a exam,
mm-hmm.
high pressure SAT, GRE style licensing yep. exam, mm-hmm. say, oh yeah, just close the book. Follow us now.
Yep.
You have to be able to think on your feet. Okay, wait, now I'm going into a practical situation. Yep. Forget all about that. So true.
Yep.
Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown. What is the craziest injury you had to ever treat? Ashley.
I consider myself blessed in a sense that I haven't had crazy injuries, catastrophic in a sense. I remember seeing my worst concussion, and it was a drunken sailor walking around. And the the sports
I love that.
Intern just was flabbergasted, jaw to the floor, and everyone else was just cool, calm, and collected. It was like, this is just another Tuesday or Friday night, I should say.
I love it.
That, and watching my first patella dislocation relocation, that was probably a fun one.
Now, can you describe the patellar dislocation and relocation to some of the high school students that might be listening today?
Absolutely. So patella dislocation, it usually dislocates to the lateral aspect of the outside of the knee, and you're going to find the knee in a bent position most times. And usually they're in excruciating pain. There's soft tissue damage around the area, and you just have to slowly and calmly extend their knee while pushing the lateral border of the patella, and then it'll just pop right back in place.
And that's exactly what it sounds like. Pop.
Yep.
And then the patient feels great, right?
Oh, yeah. Pain substantially down.
And it doesn't look like it's pointing the wrong direction, which is the freakiest part. Angela?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if it's the craziest, but I think the one that I found so fascinating the most was, I've actually had this several times, which is kind of unusual, but avulsion fracture at the tibial tuberosity or patellar tendon rupture. It was kind of a combination of both. I had one in a football player and I had one in a cheerleader. And it's just completely crazy to see that patella up in that quadricep.
Not supposed to be there. Not supposed to be there.
Nope. Nope. And it was, I remember one of the specifically the cheerleader, she went down on stage. So it was an all-star competition. And I go out there, I'm the second person out there, and I'm looking, and I was like, is that a tibial fracture? Like, I'm like looking at it going, what is that? And then I realized the reason it looked so odd was because the patella was not there. And so, and then I kind of glanced, because I looked at it, I wasn't really evaluating it. Somebody else was taking lead on it. And I think that was kind of the biggest ones. We had EMTs on site, so we were trying to splint it, and they're like trying to figure out how to splint it, you know, and I'm like, goes back to that skill. Just give me the cardboard thing. And I'm creating this whole splint because we couldn't straighten her leg. We couldn't do a lot of, you know, we couldn't really do anything. So we had to splint her in the way that we found her, obviously. And so, I mean, that was probably one of the craziest ones that I've had to deal with. You know, other than that, I mean, it's just kind of nothing surprises me anymore.
You know, I've heard that quite often. Nothing surprises me, and you never know what you're going to see day to day.
Nope.
Which goes back to be adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Be bendy. You never know what's going to happen. Yeah. Very true. Pivot. Very true.
Right. My favorite,
pivot.
In words of my favorite show, Friends.
Pivot. Oh, yes. Pivot. Mm-hmm. Pivot. No, I'm sure that couch will fit up there.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Well,
every
an athletic
time.
Trainer would have gotten it up there.
They would have. I analyze that episode every time it comes on. Okay. I could have twisted right here. Could have turned right there. Could have pushed right there. Mm-hmm. I'd do it. No problem.
Yep.
What's yours, Tim?
There's a lot over all these years. I've had a kid do a Joe Theismann during a game, which is you break your lower leg literally in half. So that was a long time ago. He ended up being in the hospital for a few weeks because he developed anterior compartment syndrome and needed a couple surgeries. So that one was kind of crazy. I also had I was covering a sophomore game. I think I don't know what year it was. I had a kid also break his tibia on one play. Got him off the field and continued to splint the leg. Then I had a kid get his helmet literally pulled off his neck and decleated. So then I had a neck injury, so I was dealing with that. And then he was off the field, luckily, when this all happened. So they kind of continued the game, which I was pissed at or upset with. I'm sorry.
All good.
And as I was trying to make sure that the kid with the neck was okay, but because of the mechanism, we had to make sure. So I ended up calling a paramedic unit for him to get transported. And then I had a kid who decided to cramp up, and they were yelling at me to go on the field for a cramp. And I literally went out there and go, dude, you only have a cramp. I got other things to deal with kind of right now. So that was kind of a really crazy game within 5-10 minutes.
So that happened with all within 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. A sophomore football game.
And I presume that was far back enough. You were by yourself and
all
that
completely
solo.
By myself. I ended up going to two different hospitals that night after the game. One kid went one where, and then the other kid, the parents insisted on taking him, So I mean, it was splinted and everything's, you know, it was not sticking out or anything like that. So they ended up taking him to another hospital. He had surgery that night. Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Sounds like a hell of a day.
Job security, that's what I call it.
Yeah, that's you got a lot of that with all the teenage boys around your campus, right?
Yeah, so I think it was back in the 90s actually, before a lot of kids were, well, none of these kids were born. But yeah, that was a crazy game. That I won't forget that game.
What is the most rewarding part of your job? Tim.
Every day is different. There is not one day that mimics the other, and I can honestly say that in all the years I've been coming to work here. I can say to myself, now I've heard everything, and 2 minutes later, I'm going to hear something that I've never heard before. Or you're going to have someone come in and you think it's this injury, and they keep talking, and you're like, dude, I'm not even sure what you're talking about anymore. And you're scratching your head, going, what's going on? And sometimes when you peel that onion, you find out there's probably not an injury, but there's just stuff going on, and he needs to talk to somebody. So it's just constant. I call it controlled chaos working in a high school setting.
Amen to that, brother.
And not a lot of athletic trainers can really, I'm not dissing anybody, but not a lot of people can handle a high school setting. It takes, you're literally going in 10 different directions at one time. And then there's other times where it's, you know, you can sit back and kind of watch the game and enjoy it. Those days are great. But I mean, I've come in some days where it's like, oh, this is going to be a quiet day and all hell breaks loose. And just being around the kids makes me feel young. It doesn't seem like I've been here 35 years already. It really doesn't.
Goes by pretty quick, doesn't it?
It goes by extremely fast. And it's just, the kids are great. Most parents are great, and being able to still joke around with the kids on a daily basis and all that type of stuff. So being in a high school, I think, is really, really a fun part of being an athletic trainer. I don't think I could work in a more, I can't work in a structured setting. How's that? I need the constant.
Change and chaos and the interests of whatever happens that day. I
Oh
get
yeah.
it.
I mean, all of a sudden you have no one in the training room. Now you got 10 guys in the training room and two have concussions, one has a sprained ankle, and you're like going, what the heck just happened? You feel like you're in a mass unit.
Yep. The sad thing is, if we say 4077, no one gets it.
Yeah, no one understands any of that anymore. I think that's the most rewarding. It's just, you know, like I said, I don't feel like I'm as old as I'm gonna be in a couple of days. So
And
but
we won't say, well, we'll say happy birthday to you, but we won't mention that it's your 60th birthday on the show. So
bingo, there
don't
you
worry.
go.
Yeah, we
Yeah.
won't mention that one bit.
Yeah.
What's yours, Cindy?
For me, that is seeing an athlete come back from a traumatic injury, step back on the field, and just the joy on their faces when they're able to do that. And I know that I was part of that process. That is the best thing ever. Because we've gone through all the mental stuff while they're rehabbing. We've gone through the physical and just the trying to keep them patient while they're getting stronger. That absolutely is the best part, to watch an athlete go back out and be successful. Just step out on the field, step out on the floor, whatever.
It's amazing how many of my colleagues and our colleagues have said that. It really comes back to you've helped this person because our career, you're helping others. You're giving of yourself to help others and to see them be able to do what they love, even if it's only for one play or one
Right.
month, whatever it is of a season. It's so gratifying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we've all had those situations. We've had those athletes.
Yes, we have, definitely. And the nice thing is, you know, you've impacted them the rest of their lives. And as teens, that's hopefully quite a bit of time.
Right. Yeah. And hopefully they'll go. And if high school was the last place they were going to play, but they get back and it's their senior game, or it's a CIF playoff game, or whatever it might be, to see them be successful, that's just amazing.
That's what you hope for.
Yep. It never gets old.
It doesn't. Even after just a couple of years, right?
Absolutely. After a couple of years, after 38 years, you know, it never gets old.
It really doesn't. John, what about you?
So I think the most rewarding part of my job as an athletic trainer has to be being able to see our patients, who are athletes, go from an injury, no matter how minor or severe, being able to work with them through their treatments, their rehabs, maybe even a surgery, and then eventually being able to progress them back to where they were before and back onto the field of play. And I think, you know, we're in a profession where we really get to watch that whole process happen. We're there for the initial injury, and then we're also there when they get to go back to playing 100%, and whether that's going back to their senior year, or, you know, just being able to get back on the field, court, or the track, or whatever the case might be. But I think that's definitely one of the most rewarding things as an athletic trainer. As an educator, for me, you know, my students have a strong interest in healthcare. And so for me, being able to provide opportunities to the students to get real world experiences in the high school setting and see real world things happening, that's the most rewarding thing for me, is being able to get them those experiences and watch them be excited. You know, and we always say we never want to be excited when people get injured, but ultimately we're in healthcare and our job is to help people that get injured. And so it brings a little bit of excitement for us.
It does. Whoever says it doesn't is not being 100% honest, right?
Absolutely.
No, and we hear that quite often. What's the most rewarding part? It's really the look in somebody's eye and the smile on their face when they can get back, like you said, on the field, on the court, on the pitch, whatever, because we know we made a difference.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I know you got tons to do the rest of the day, and we appreciate you taking the time to answer these questions. So I won't keep you much longer. Hope you have a fantastic day and a slow one, hopefully.
Thanks, Eli. I really appreciate it.
All right. I shall see you then.
Have a good one, buddy. Talk to you later, Tim.
All right, bye.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. Thank you, Kristen. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Hallett. It is produced by Gabriel Hallett. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Hallett Consulting, LLC.